Listen, we are connected to a vast photography network that is beyond your reach and experiences. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. You have been subordinate to your limitations until now. Time has come to cast aside these bonds and elevate your consciousness to a higher plane. Welcome to the Media Litter Sandwich podcast show with...
Really? That's how you advertise your photographer group?
No, I'm trying something different.
What would Podbros.com say about this, you know?
Huh? Yeah, man.
Welcome to Media Litter Sandwich. With me is Mark Monster from
CrazyMark.com.
And today we have Jason. I can never pronounce your last name.
It's a long name. Plushnak.
Plushnak.
Yep.
We've actually talked about you a few times on the show. We only refer to you as Jason P.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
I think once or twice we referred to you as Jason Long Plushnak.
Yeah.
And now I finally met you. What on, bro?
Pleased to meet you.
And I'm Scotty Maiali, also known as Toden from Toden.com, YouTube.com/ToadenK. This is Media Litter Sandwich. Now, we don't have William with us today, unfortunately. Jason is a photographer, and no, we're not replacing William with Jason because he RIP'd after we accidentally killed him the last episode. Long story, we talked about...
We put the halo and things on him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're still working on the animation on him. No, William's all good. He's just going to be here today.
I'm glad to be here to substitute for him.
Well, tell us about some of your projects. You're a photographer. Mm-hmm. You run a meetup group. I believe you play with drones and other another technology inside the field.
My hobby is photography. I love photography. With photography, I'm able to get out to places that other people don't get to see. Like some of these decaying buildings, we get to see the beauty of what these buildings back in the 60s, that they're all kind of being abandoned. And so we're respecting the art of these buildings and so forth. And I love a photo that tells a story too. And when I take a photo, that's my goal, is I want a photo that tells a story. I just don't want a quick image of something. And the other thing when I take a photo is, before I take a photo, I say, would someone buy this? And then if I think no, I don't take the picture.
But Jason, I got a question. Mm-hmm. Tell me about a place that has captivated you when you've gone to photograph, out of the many places you've been.
Detroit's awesome. There's so much to shoot over there. There's so much.
Tell me about one place. One place that really you keep thinking, you keep going back to.
California is awesome. You can't go wrong with California or New York.
Well, what part of California?
Oh, man.
Okay, I'll make it easy. Two parts.
Is really hard for him.
There's like so much.
Okay, one. All of a sudden, boom, you're in the mood for what in California?
Beaches. You can't go wrong with beaches.
Big Sur. Mm-hmm. Okay, where else? Big Sur and?
Mountains and the terrain and the beautiful sunsets. Or even lighthouses are awesome, too.
I've been there. It's awesome, man. I'm telling you.
South Haven, Grand Haven, and Michigan. We got all along the side here. And South Haven, North Haven, Grand Haven. And there's like all around you, Michigan, too. But California has a whole bunch there, too. And
big shout out to my peeps in L.A. and Santa Cruz. What up?
Mm-hmm. Now, you did mention one thing, which is very different from William's photography and some of my art. And not all of Mark's, but some of his is you think for profit. Your mindset when you're taking pictures is for profit, which is the ultimate goal.
Yeah.
That's perfectly fine. To me, my hobby is my hobby, my fun. If I was for profit...
Hobby's such a bad word here because if you're making money off of it, then it's not necessarily a hobby.
That's true. The hobby and professional. The reason I say hobby is because if I say professional, they'll look at my stuff and be like, you'd make more money if you did it this way. And sometimes I agree, but I don't want to do it that way. I want to have fun. So the reason I say hobby instead of second job because – it makes it sound more like work, and it makes it sound like I'm putting money above my fun. And to me, my fun is above. Now that's not always the case. And if I could do both, awesome. But when you look at my channel, you see what gets the most views. Mm-hmm. I'm no longer doing that type thing. Yeah. I'm doing something because I want to do it, vice versa.
See, when I think of hobby, I think of model railroading. There you know? I don't know if anybody runs out and says, hey, you want to buy some model trees, you know, or something like that. Then you end up opening a hobby shop or it's like, hey, come here. I got some N-scale trains to sell you.
Well, you had the RC cars, too. That was a hobby thing with the remote-control cars and airplanes. Yeah,
and there's one place
left. And drones. That's a very hobby thing right
now. Yeah, there's one place left with, actually the slot cars, and that's downriver at the Downriver Speedway over there on Dix.
I thought
there
was another place, too. I know that's the one that I know of, but... I'm pretty sure
it's an awesome blast from the past. It's like you want to know what your dad or grandpa used to do. Drop into this place, and this is like boom, you're whisked back.
We are not sponsored by whatever the slot car place is called, by the way.
No. It's history.
They want to sponsor us.
Yes, please.
So one of the things too is like as my photography grows, I'm like, oh, let me buy this and this and this, and then so on and so forth. But then. Before I know it, I go to a gig with $6,000 to $9,000 worth of camera gear, and I need to get some sort of money back to help. But even if it's a hobby, I need a little bit of help with the money coming in so I could buy my new gear or my time travel to these things.
Oh, we were talking about that earlier. You and models wanting you to follow them around. Tell us about it.
Oh yeah, so I had this gig where they were dressing up as this costume for this outdoor event, and they said, oh, could you follow us and get people's reactions? They wanted to for me to video them and follow them around and get people's reactions and so forth. And I'm like, sure, I'll be glad to do that for a certain fee. And they're like, oh, we're hoping you would do that for free.
Everybody laugh. Our humor.
And then so I says, okay, you want me to drive 45 miles out to this thing for 3 hours, use my camera gear, and then give you this. I need at least, money for my time traveled to A to B. That would be helpful.
Toad, we need a list on the wall that goes back to episode like 15 or 17 because we talked about that. In
yes, we've brought it up many times, but it is an issue that pretty much everyone faces, not just those in a creative field,
but also
everyone faces it. An intern, someone reminded me the other day, we were talking about interns working for free. Like, well, what about apprenticeships back in the day? And I thought about it, and I looked up a couple things. Like, yeah, apprenticeships back in the day, yeah, they worked for free. But what did they get? They got food. They got shelter. They got they were being supported to a degree, perhaps.
They get their skill level up from, let's say 4 to 6 to 7, and that you get all this knowledge from that.
Right. Their today's internships aren't – I'm not trying to say they're all not like that or they're all – they're very varied, and there's a reason why there's a lot of laws on internships now because they don't want to see people be ripped off. And if you're looking at internships, that's awesome. I've done many, many internships, but make sure it's the right internship for you and do some research.
So it's not like you said, some of the food and the parking's free, and they'll help you out with a lot of stuff. So that really helps for...
Depending on your internship. The internships in my current day job offer, they pay, and of course parking's free, and they give benefits and stuff like that. I've done 6 internships that were completely unpaid. One of them I was a janitor, which is actually one of my best internships. I was mostly a janitor, but that's actually I might have told that story before. I don't remember. That might be a discussion for another time. I want to know about more about your photography. We're talking about some of your past projects, your meetup group.
Oh, my meetup group. I love that meetup group. So on meetup.com, it's called On the Move Photo Group. And basically, it's just a group of anyone with a camera. And we go around, walk the streets of Detroit, or we'll go down to Ohio, and they have these waterfalls. A 3-hour drive, and then we'll spend the night, and then we'll go to 7 waterfalls, photograph them, and then drive back, and or we'll get some awesome sunset or sunrise images, or I'll hire a model, and we'll photograph the model and so forth. Or we'll have a let's practice flash 101. It's like Nikon, Canon, Sony. It doesn't matter. We'll just learn the manual and TTL and all this other stuff, and it's kind of fun going out. It's also, too, it's safety in numbers, too, because you got all this expensive gear and you're with a group. You know, you feel safer with a group
to get these images. I think that's how I met you. You came out with a group for a zombie walk.
A zombie walk, perhaps, yeah.
Yeah, I think you were one of the guys that came out in a different meetup group. Mm-hmm. You mentioned having models and paying the model. Mm-hmm. How do you work that out?
It depends on the model and her skill level, but if I'm hiring a model for the stuff, I definitely pay her ahead of time. We come up with a price, and like, okay, for 3 hours or an hour or something. So
everyone in the group contributes.
And then I say maybe like $75 or $100. Or I had one model; it was $200 for 2 hours, and then we paid for her travel. And on top of that, she got tips from the 7 or 8photographers. So she came home with a good, you know, $400 for working two to three hours.
So that $200, that just came from you, or was that collective?
Yeah, that was collected. So each photographer paid up ahead of time. It was either $30 or $45. Right. So then that pool goes in towards the model.
Okay, and now you had experience with this, so I kind of already know the answer because I was there. What happens when people say they're going to go someplace? You're like, you know what? You could pay when you get there.
Yeah, so when the meetup was in its infancy, and Toad and I said, hey, let's do an YouTube or audio thing or all about video 101. Yeah, that was it, video 101.
Okay.
Because I did Flash, and I said, okay, let's do something about video. You know, like, what's this video thing on DSLRs?
Mm. Yep, we rented a room. We brought a bunch of equipment. I brought different video microphones. Mm-hmm.
I had about 8 people interested. It was like, oh, this is an awesome thing. I've been wanting to learn video on the cameras and, you know, the techniques of like Steadicam, monopod, and some lighting and microphones.
Various things.
Various things. You know, on and on and on. So basically, people at the, no one showed up. I'm like,
such a long intro for, and no one showed up.
And no one showed.
So, I mean, so that's the thing that on these meetups, that we have to, you have to pay ahead of time and then put some sort of clause in there. So you could cancel up to 24 hours. So if I have a wedding photography class or something, that's $80. And so I got 5 people paying $80, and I'll have a bride and a groom, and they go up and down the altar, and you could practice your wedding photography, and you could try, this works, that doesn't work. You're there to learn. So it's a cool thing. You got everyone's dressed up, and you could bring your flashes or borrow other people's flashes. And but people paid ahead of time, and so I was able to pay the bride and groom. They were already married, so it was cool.
Yeah. That's really cool. How'd you get the location for that?
I know someone who goes to a church, and I'm like, hey, could we, and I talked to him, borrow this church pew for a certain day. And it worked out great because when we went there, the air conditioner broke, and it was 100 degrees outside. So it was like 120 degrees inside the church. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, man, good thing we were here, because they had to get the electrician out to fix the air conditioner for the wedding on the weekend.
Right.
Because that would, but it was kind of good because we're all sweating in this thing, because on weddings, everything can and does go wrong.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it could be a very nervous thing, especially because you have people all around you telling you what to do. Because everyone's so stressful, everyone's stressed. It's supposed to be the bride's day, and they don't want anything to go wrong. Yeah. So they want that picture. So they want to make sure they have
backup
it.
Backup. Weddings, you got to have 3 cameras. You're 24 to 70, 70 to 200. You got to have 2 of those cameras and a backup of that. Because if you drop the camera, you just grab another one and keep shooting. Don't worry about it. I've seen people do weddings with 1 camera. What happens if that camera breaks?
This is very valuable information because, as you know, weddings are a cash cow.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the thing I tell everyone, I don't care what camera you're using, make sure you have extra batteries. We've talked about that on the show. I think that's the number one killer.
I got a quick battery story for you. This is okay. I had two batteries with me. It was a graduation ceremony. It was going on for so I'm capturing all the announcers and so forth, and I got the intro and everything.
Yeah.
And then now I'm waiting for this kid to go down the aisle and get his certificate, graduation ceremony, and then capture him, and then walking down and so forth. So I'm trying to pan. Where is this guy? Everyone's wearing those same hats. And I'm like, well, where is this guy? Where is this guy? Mm-hmm. So I'm panning back and forth. Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? And so like 45 minutes into this thing, I was like, where is he? Where is he? Because I got to get him walking up, get the thing and the certificate and walking down. And I'm looking at the thing. I was like, 9% battery. Oh, no.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, no. Where is it? And then finally, you know, like 6% battery life. He comes up, grabs the certificate, the handshake, walks down, and I'm like, thank goodness. And then I was able to stop.
6% battery.
6% battery. Marvelous. I was stop it, change the battery, and then I was able to get the closing ceremony. But
I'm really surprised that you're able to do that because most graduation ceremonies have a couple hired photographers, and no one is allowed to go near them. Mm-hmm. I was a videographer at several graduations, and oh my, sometimes you fight with those photographers because they want the perfect spot, which they need that perfect spot. They're getting paid to get these pictures.
Yeah.
I'm getting paid to get my video, and I'm not as mobile as they are, especially when I'm hooked up to, you know, all these different cords because you got the director looking at what you need. I have to have the intercom so the director could talk to me.
Yeah, at a graduation, be careful.
I go
parents,
in
man.
With this giant They're camera, linebackers. Though, this giant Canon glass, and people know to, you know, part like the water.
Okay,
they get
so
out of
you're
my
in
way.
The back.
Yeah, I'm in the back, and then this lady wanted to sit in front of me. I'm like, no, you can't sit here. Look at the, and then she's like, oh, okay. And then she moves out of the way.
Yeah, man, I was filming a graduation once, and I remember the one girl who was graduating. She says, my boyfriend's going to be there. Could you get video of him up in the bleachers while I'm graduating? So I panned over to him. He was over there sleeping.
Nice. So really quick on the battery situation. Mm-hmm. So I, it doesn't really matter what camera stuff you use, but the Sony, like the A7S or one of those, they're really, really small. So I had a chance to play with one, and it's a really nice camera. It's so lightweight, but you can shoot 4K and slow motion. But the battery is this itsy-bitsy thing. It's so small. I mean, my iPhone here has bigger battery than the Sony thing. Recording only lasts like 50 minutes.
It's a good backup. Good backup camera.
You got to have like 7 batteries on a shoot because
right.
You got to carry everything. You got to be a renaissance man of many different routes, you know?
So the new Sony
I think
has
on
a
my camera,
battery.
On my main camera, which I use, which is this camera pointing at us right now, I have 6 batteries for. I think only 4 of them work now. Well, of course, I think a couple of them were replacement batteries as well. But it's mixed. They're El Cheapos and they're professional ones, all mixed, depending on what I could get for the price at the time.
Okay. Now, speaking of batteries,
there was a camera. I actually have a camera that I decided to get rid of because the replacement batteries, because I wanted extra batteries, cost as much as the camera costs.
Yeah, real quick on the battery things. So you got the branded like Sony, Canon, Nikon batteries.
Right.
Or they got the off-brand. They're a lot cheaper. And for what I do, especially like running events and, you know, paid gigs, I have to have my gear work. And so I can't have these third-party batteries because I don't want them to flake out in the middle of a shoot.
So you prefer the regular brand name.
The expensive, crazy expensive
that's
things.
That's best for you from what
that's best for me because I can't have failure.
And Jason, I'll tell you what, too. I've experienced the same thing back when I was using another Panasonic. I said, oh, man, I'm going to have to buy these several different other batteries. And it was the Panasonic battery that would last the longest. And these other no-name brands that would cut out halfway.
Some of them have a chip inside, too. Yeah. So it would give you like, 30%, 50%. Right. And so the cheap ones don't have that circuitry.
Well, I test mine. Some of my El Cheapos work just fine. I know how long they last. When they start losing that, when they start losing that charge faster, that tells me it's time to get a new battery. And yes, if it happens to be the El Cheapo version that's dying faster, I know not to get that brand. And I do read reviews. I read a ton of reviews.
And here's a pointer too on batteries. With a little magic marker, write the year that you bought it. The month and year.
That's a really good tip.
If you have like us also like say double A batteries or something, write AAA. A. So then your next group of 4 batteries called BBB, BBB, and the next one CCC, CCC. So then you're charging and using
That might not be a bad idea to also write the date on SD cards.
Mm-hmm, definitely, too. And to recycle some of that stuff, if I have a wedding, that so we have the book, CD, the wedding book and the CD and so forth, or they don't CD, no, they want the small images. And I says, oh, I could supply that for you on a CF card. So that's a way, but I charge them $100 for the CF card,
right,
with the small images, plus the wedding album and all this other stuff. But then that gets rid of my SD card, and I put that $100 towards a new one. So I have a fresh SD card, because the read writes only go so far before they go kaput.
Jason, you're full of great information for all this, the beginning photographers out there, and even people who have been in the business for years. I mean, just this is a wealth of information today on the show.
I hope it's not the only show that has a wealth of information, but this is better than last week's topic. No, actually, I really like last week's topic. Let's just say this is not as depressing as last week's topic.
What was the bullet points of that? Are you going to bring it up?
People using, with their pets passing away, them animating their pets and putting halos on them as their forever intros and forever logos.
Or using them in a dishonorable way as to tug on the heartstrings of the public to pull in money, you know, like those Sarah McLachlan commercials are like, somewhere a dog is dying and there's nothing you can do about it.
If you ever want to make someone feel sad really quick when they go, oh my God, look at the puppy, just say, cue up the Sarah McLachlan music, and they will, if they know what you're talking about.
There's no tomorrow. Only you can help.
On topics with dogs and photography, one of my pet peeves of especially like kids and dogs.
They always say, always be careful when you're working with animals and children.
That when people, they're standing up and they look down and they take a picture of their dog. And then so the dog's like looking up and they, like, no, get down on the ground, take a knee, or sit your butt on the floor, get to the dog's level and photograph them there. Don't go from up here shooting down. Same thing
with children.
Children should get down to their level. And it's a whole new world. You could see the children and their perspective of the world. Same thing with the dog. Their perspective low to the grass and so forth.
And be sure to have plenty of lens cleaner if you get down there. You get down there with an animal.
They flick the lens.
Oh yeah, lots of lens cleaner.
when I was learning. Doing interviews, I was watching a lot of different interview, videos of people interviewing each other, and I got into this huge click hole, and I found these videos of this kid running up and interviewing celebrities. I mean, there's a whole bunch of them, and there's a rule that even says watch David Tennant, and there's like four or five celebrities before they get to this kid interviewing David Tennant, and David Tennant got down on his knees right to his level. And, and it was just, it looked like a better interview because he's eye level with him. And he even said, hey, don't strain your arm. I'm coming eye level down to you. And there's just all these comments. And I found this pictures of this and it was a thing for a little while.
I mean, dude, if you ever see the cosplay shows that I would host, I'd get down on my knees when I'd be working with the kids,
Yeah. Right. And same thing with cameras. I'm walking around with my nephew. I'm teaching him how to shoot. And sometimes I will have to look at him like, no. Get on, get down, get eye level with this kid. She is doing wonderful things. Let's actually get a better perspective of her.
Photographers and videographers, remember when you were a kid? Think.
Yeah,
that camera.
It works good for cars, too, when you're shooting car photography. You get down to their level. Because otherwise, you see like part of the hood. No, you want to see the side profile and stuff.
Yeah, people get lazy with tripods. They do. Oh, people get lazy with tripods.
I could go on forever about tripods.
Oh, my God. You and me both, dude. Man.
Yeah. That's telling me to cut it off there. You're right.
I agree.
People get lazy with tripods. Don't be afraid to freehand. The more you do it, the more steady you will get. You could learn how to cheat to make things steady. I'm worried about shaking. And we had an incident not too long ago where we had a videographer help us out doing some camera stuff, and they were so afraid of all that shaking. I was like, you got a free hand in this situation. You can try a tripod, but I'm going to tell you it's not going to work because that situation we are in, you just can't do
it. You got to get off and rock and roll it, because back when I was working with a thing called Rock Live, there was no tripod. You grab that camera and you get up in the face of the band right then and there. You get in the middle of the mosh pit with a camera. Mm-hmm. You see how much your world changes right there.
But it's when you're starting out too, which is like you said, the handheld. Right. I mean, look at this. Flex this guy's muscles. Look at that thing.
And I haven't worked out. I've been like,
it's like even like roller skating.
I've been lazy.
When you're roller skating, your muscles are weak. And then after you do like a couple of months of roller skating, your muscles build up. Same thing with the video. You're not used to holding this camera out like this. But after doing it a few times, your muscles build up so then you could be more steady.
Yeah, I had a cam. I was running around shooting with beta cam still. Super big, super heavy cam. So I would have to shoot an event.
So it does get easier.
I'd set up a tripod where I'm like, oh, this is the perfect angle for everything. Mm-hmm. Then what do people do? People move. People walk. People do things. I'm like, look, if I want that shot that I want, I'm going to have to unhinge the thing and go. And there's times where I'm videotaping lectures and they move a lot, or there's more going on that I didn't know about. They didn't tell me the whole program. All of a sudden, I have to move. Now, if I'm in that situation where I'm not tied down by cables, I hit that quick release on the tripod, lift my camera up, and do what I need to do.
Toden, you know what? That camera you got, it qualifies as a 30-pound dumbbell.
we don't need to go to the gym. We just carry this thing around.
Yeah, carry that big Panasonic.
But honestly, though, I mean, if you want to practice on this stuff, just have it at home, and as you're watching TV, hold it for a little bit, and then your muscles get stronger, then you could hold it for longer periods of time. Because you just hold it for a little bit, but then but when you're out there, you're probably holding it for a good 15, 20 minutes. Right. And then you start getting that muscle fatigue and shake.
Before you start doing that training, just take it even a step back.
All right.
And just, there you go. This is the frame. This is the frame I want. Mm-hmm. You run back, you run forward, because you have to zoom manually right here, physically. And now when you're holding this, or doing this, you got an idea of where you need to hold that and how you need to hold it. But we used to do this all the time while I was in school. They're like, look, I can't give you cameras this week, so I just want you to go up, figure out a good the frame you want, and I want you to either take a picture or just describe it to me, or just literally just do this.
In my karate class years ago, we had a metal bar attached to a rope, and on the end was like a 5 or 10 pound weight.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then you had to rotate that stuff, and then your muscles pop, and like you roll it up, and then you roll it down, you roll it up, and then you roll it down.
I used to do that waiting for things to render.
Yeah, that was cool.
Well, my coworker still has something like that. So they just did while waiting for stuff to render, and they just.
Everybody was handling a video camera. Ha!
Quick question though on the Steadicam thing. I was I had this last shoot I did. The model's walking towards me. I'm in front of the model. I'm walking backwards or sideways, and she's walking faster and faster, and I'm trying to walk with her.
Oh, I saw that video, dude.
Oh, thank you. It was fun doing it, but the problem is that she's walking faster, and I'm trying to keep up, and we're doing this shot, and then I'm running out of breath.
Okay, so you had a couple positive things, or not? I shouldn't say positive. You had a couple things that you could have done, because I've seen the video too. For that, you had music overlay, and you were stripping all the audio off. Anyways, you could have talked to her and be like, "Okay, slow down. I'm getting close up your face, you know." Or you can even be like, "Okay, I'm step." You know, calling cadence. Not everyone can handle that, obviously. You know, some actors. Are, you know, oh man, you get a good actor, they will try to keep pace with you, and they will work. For beginners and for people that aren't accustomed to that, a second person just grabbing your back and helping you keep that pace and going forward more. Because one of the reasons why you're going slower is you want to make sure you're not hurting yourself.
Yeah. So I could trip over a tree behind me, too.
Right. Yeah. So someone behind you with their hand on the back of your shirt. Again, the video version is always different than the audio version. Literally holding the back of your shirt and pulling you back
as I'm
and helping you set pace. And if you're walking back
and then you could pull me this way or that way.
Right. And with you walking backwards faster, you're mm-hmm. telling me I need to up
so,
my pace.
So I'm safe because I could walk faster backwards because I know you're steering me. You're
right. I'm watching out for anything. You.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had and that happen. The other thing,
what I should have done too is, okay, let's start a pace. So I could have, like, we're like face to face, like 3 feet in front of each right. other. And it's like, okay, I'm going to walk backwards. You walk forward. And so this is the pace I need to walk. And mm-hmm. then we could, okay, then we calibrate. So then I could go back farther and get like a whole body shot, and then we could walk the same pace.
Right. Yeah, I get recently
like a
baseline
of
yeah, this the is speed. Especially hard when you're on time restraints and you don't have time to rehearse.
We had 40 minutes of light left, and I'm like, we one take, let's go.
Mm-hmm. Jason, that model in the video, was she mm-hmm. easy to work with?
Did Very
she
take, awesome,
she,
yeah.
So she took direction well then. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was a collaborated effort, and we talked about what we wanted in the scenes, and we got there, and we got there and just started filming.
Cool, because some models, you just don't step on their toes. They do what they mm-hmm. want to, and you're lucky to get some good footage out of
it. No, it was a collaborative effort. She put in some ideas, I put in some ideas, and we were on the same page. So it's just like, we're doing this.
Right
and
on.
And then we get to a new location, we already know what to do, and we're just boom, boom, boom. It was a fun shoot. But
wow.
I there was some mistakes in it, yes, but I
didn't see any.
But it helps. So my next one I do, I learn from my mistakes, and my next one's going to be better, and so on and so forth. And
yeah, I was more, you know, drawn to the girl who, or woman, I should say, mm-hmm. that could pretty much compete in the natural bodybuilding, mm-hmm. you know, division. You know, that
was, and we'll play a couple clips while we're talking. So if mm-hmm. you're watching, listening to the audio, you can go and look at the video version and see a little bit of this video, mm-hmm. which Jason gave us permission to post. Mm-hmm. Or you can always check out Jason's stuff at
My Facebook page, Jason Polushnak, will have a. You want me to spell it out? Or what?
Yes.
All right. JasonPalushnik. So that's the easiest one. Find me on Facebook, and I post a few things there. I only post a few. I have my other websites that I have.
Do you have any websites that are easier to remember or easier to spell?
No, they're not.
Yeah, okay. They're all your names. How about collective websites?
We'll have your name on the description.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, too, is I have like a lot of private shoots that I'm not allowed to show.
Right,
so it's just a private link.
That's why you always ask. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you've had a lot of great information for us here today. You know, with photography, meetup mm-hmm. groups. You know, pros and cons with models, and mm-hmm. and dealing with all the strange situations that could happen to you out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you have any final thoughts, or is there anything, Toden? Is there something you want to ask him, or?
I was just going to ask, tell us about one of your projects you did, one of the first projects that comes to mind that you think people can learn off of.
Projects?
Photography projects.
Well, the group shoots is fun because we always learn from each other. Like, someone will come in with a different camera or a different skill set, mm-hmm. and, you know, I'm still learning stuff. So someone comes in with, like, oh, I've been to Africa and all these other, like, countries, the world traveler, and he shows us these pictures of like rhinos and giraffes and so okay. we're like, wow, this is amazing. So you know, with these meetups mm-hmm. you get to meet different people and different skill sets, and
great.
And you know, I'm learning, everyone else is learning, everyone's at a different skill level,
right.
And we're just kind of learning off each other, and my goal is to get a photo that tells a story, that's a beautiful photo, mm. and as long as that happens, I'm happy. And then if I could help someone to get a photo that, you know, like a mediocre photo and make it like a better photo,
right on.
That's my goal.
Yeah, feedback is amazing. Speaking of feedback, we love feedback. Make sure to comment, rate, subscribe if you're on YouTube, or follow us. Subscribe, follow whatever, on whatever platform you listen to us on or watch us on. Please do that. And we do listen to people. In fact, Jason gave us feedback a while back. Mm-hmm. You suggested that we start doing teasers before the episode, mm-hmm. that, you know, and film them in a way where we know what we were talking about. We actually filmed the teasers after the episode, as do a lot of shows. That mm-hmm. way we actually know what we were talking about.
Yeah, so you put the bullet points, we talk about the bullet points at the end of the show and then put that in the beginning.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that you suggested to us, and mm-hmm. we started following, and I think it worked out very well. Mm-hmm. I thank you for that.
This show is about this X, Y, and Z, and you're like, cool, I'm interested about that, and you could listen to the
thing. Right, because so many times you plan a show and you end up talking about something completely different.
Like, who knew we were going to talk about batteries and SD cards and whatnot.
But it'll come up in the description, probably. You know,
I'm kind of lazy on the descriptions.
Probably. Yeah. That was an actual song done by a band called the Sugars from Detroit years ago.
All right, one more time, tell us where they can find you and spell your name slowly so the audio listeners. This is why we call you Jason P on the show.
So okay, Jason P, but it's P A L U C H N I A K. And you can find me on Facebook. That's the easiest one to find me. I got some other websites, and I'm a second shooter for some other people. But that's other projects for other things. I try to be diverse in my photography. But like I said, I have that meetup group, On the Move Photo Group. And, so we get a whole bunch of different people to get together.
And how can they find On the Move Photo Group?
And it's like meetup.com, M-E-E-T-U-P. .com and then look up On the Move Photo Group.
And Mark Monster, where they can find you?
Oh, crazymark.com.
And I'm Scotty Mayali. You can find me at Toden.com and YouTube.com/ToadenK. And of course, you can find all the Media Litter Sandwich episodes on both of them and Pod Bros.com. At MediaLayerSandwich.com. And you can find where we are going to be on those sites as well. You can find out where Media Litter Sandwich is doing live stuff at MediaLitterSandwich.com. And you can find Mark's appearances on his website. And you can find my appearances on my website. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. I hope you enjoyed this discussion. And may the algorithms be in your favor.
Yes.